Thank you, Dr. Altman, and thank you, Mr. President, for the kind invitation to come and speak. And thank you for your very kind introduction, which I don't deserve, but I do appreciate. All right. The scripture for this morning is from the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 46 through 52. That is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Please rise as we read from the Gospel of our Lord. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's join in prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom with you and with the Holy Spirit are equal honor and glory, power and very being itself, we thank you for the gift of love that you have given us in the life, the death, and the resurrection of your Son. We thank you for the gospel. Now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So in this passage, we see Jesus and the disciples coming to Jericho. And they're going through, and they are followed by a great crowd. And what an exciting time that must have been. There they are with Jesus. And just going up to Jerusalem, where they were hoping for the manifestation of God's glory through him. But there's one who is not walking with him. That is Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And to understand how desperate his situation is, we need to understand the situation of a blind person at that time. Blindness could be seen as a curse from God. We read in the Gospel of John where the disciples see a blind man and they say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus responds, "Neither is the case, but that the glory of God might be shown through him." Now, Bartimaeus may not have been born blind, because he speaks in terms of regaining his sight. But whatever has happened to him has reduced him to poverty. And there are cultures today where if you are blind, you are considered useless. Now, also, his name is a little problematical. I looked at several commentaries, and they struggled with this. In the text, it says, "Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus." Now, Bartimaeus in Aramaic means the son of Timaeus. And in the Greek text, Mark translates it, and the Greek is translated into English as the son of Timaeus. Now, the name of Timaeus itself is Greek. We don't know whether his father was Greek or whether his father was a Jew who, in that time, as many Jews did, took Greek names. What also is striking about Bartimaeus' name is that it seems a little incomplete. Now, Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. And in first century Judaism, It's the first name that is more significant, like Simon, the son of John, or James, the son of Zebedee. Bartimaeus, well, what's his name, really? What's his first name? We don't know what his first name is. It's possible he had a name, they simply called him Bartimaeus. We do have examples in the scripture like Barsabbas, for example. But it just seems as if his name is incomplete. As a matter of fact, Barabbas has a name given to him in some of the manuscripts. Some manuscripts call him Jesus Barabbas, as if the guy needs a first name. Gave him the wrong first name, maybe. The great early Christian scholar Origen said, no sinner can have the name of Jesus, and apparently most modern critical editions agree with him. But the name is curious. Several years ago, we had a scholar named Richard Baucom who came here and who theorized that Bartimaeus' name was so unique, you didn't need to know his first name. It was enough to identify him as one of the eyewitnesses to our Lord's ministry. But in the final analysis, his name remains a question. He is off to the side. And he is ignored by the crowd. Now, there may be someone here who is physically blind, and you can identify with what Bartimaeus is afflicted with. But some of us may be here who are not blind, but you may feel you're at the side of the road. I appreciate the president's prayer, call for prayer for students who are in financial difficulties. You may be in financial difficulties. You've got a tuition payment that's looking you square in the face. You may have creditors after you. Maybe you're in a church situation. You have discovered that the Lord has placed you in the first church of purgatory, all right? And you discover that you have people in there who have the spiritual gift of character assassination and stinginess. You go like, and you feel at the side of the road. You are in a desperate situation. You're trying to stand for something, and people are not following you. They are ignoring you. You may be far from home, and this may seem a very different place. And many of those circumstances can make you feel as if you are at the side of the road. But Bartimaeus, by his perseverance, shows us how we can deal with that problem. He cries out to the Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's not a very eloquent prayer. Kind of short, but it's very sincere. I knew a pastor for years whose main prayer was, Jesus, help me. That's a great prayer. It can be extremely helpful, just to be able to cry out to the Lord. And here you've got the people in the crowd saying, hey, be quiet. Your circumstances may be saying to you, be quiet, it's hopeless. Don't cry out to the Lord. The enemy of your souls may be saying, you failed God. There's no point in your continuing to cry out to him. But we have to persevere in hanging on to the Lord, crying out to him, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is near, and he can cry out to him. And we know that he's near, and we can cry out to him too. And you have to consider the one to whom Bartimaeus is crying out. Here is Jesus. And what's significant here is this is the last miracle recorded in the Gospel of Mark before Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, where in a day or so he is going to be greeted as the one sent in the name of the Lord. And yet in 5 days he will be rejected by the leaders of his people. He'll be handed over to the Romans, and he will be crucified, which was the most gruesome way you could execute anyone. The Romans reserved that for the worst criminals. And I won't go into detail about crucifixion. It was a horrible way to die. Now, what's interesting is in some scholarly circles, there is the view that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, had no idea what he was headed towards. There is the theory that Jesus of Nazareth was going up to Jerusalem in the full belief that he was going to inaugurate the kingdom of God. He was the Messiah, so he could just go up and God would vindicate him. Didn't turn out that way. Instead, he's crucified, and on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As if, God, where were you? Well, we do have some accounts in this view that he was raised from the dead, and there's some skepticism about that in some quarters. The interesting thing is that you have all those statements about the Son of Man is going to be delivered and handed over. But according to the theory I'm sharing with you, which I don't hold, but I'm sharing with you, all of those statements are written back into Jesus' life by the earliest Christian community as statements of confession. Jesus never really said them, but we understand that that's what his ministry involved. So some say. But if we take the Gospels as they are written, he knows where he's headed. He knows that he is going to face a death so horrible that on the night that he's betrayed, he is in Gethsemane praying, Lord, if it be your will, please find another way. In a sense, there's a shadow of a cross over his ministry from beginning to end. Last fall, when we had the scripture readings, as we were approaching Christmas, we were also approaching the account of our Lord's going up to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke, where he would be betrayed. And you might think, well, that's a little bit out of sync here. We're supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birth, not his death. But I think that's more appropriate than it might seem at first. And in your hymnal, 152, there's a hymn that we almost never sing. It's called Christmas Has Its Cradle. Listen to the opening lines of that. Christmas has its cradle where a baby cried. Did the lantern shadow show him crucified? Did he foresee darkly his life's willing loss? Christmas has its cradle and Easter has its cross. Now, I wonder if you or I were facing a death that was so horrible. We knew we were facing the most horrifying type of execution you could find. Would we be focused on things around us, or would we be focused on our impending doom? Would we hear a blind beggar as he cries out? But Jesus who is about to suffer a horrifying death for the sins of the world, hears him and he stops and he says, "Call him." Now, Jesus had time for the blind beggar. And God, the Lord of the universe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has time for us. And sometimes it's hard to believe that when you look at the universe. We understand that we may be receiving light from galaxies that existed 12 billion years ago. Now, you've got a God who has a 12 billion year old universe, perhaps. How could such a God care about me? Well, let me suggest to you, in the words of J.B. Phillips, if your God is too great to hear you, he really is too small. All right. Now we have the crowd. Oh, they're so excited, and they're walking up with Jesus, and here is this blind beggar. And they're telling him, "Would you be quiet? No, just stop bothering the master." I'm wondering what our reaction to that crowd would be. You stupid, insensitive people. What is your problem? There's this guy on the road, the side of the road, he needs help, and you seem to be ignoring him. And, you start pointing fingers at the crowd. I like to say, when I point a finger, I got three pointing back at me. And so, Jesus doesn't do that. He gives the crowd a higher vision. Call him. And look at the reaction of the crowd. They start to change their attitude. Say, "Rejoice! He's calling you." Richard Baucom suggests that when Bartimaeus started to get up to go to Jesus, the crowd had to help him. Somebody had to help him, and there's the crowd. Now, sometimes we can get so busy in the Lord's work, we can forget what the Lord may be asking us to do. And he may remind us, not saying, "Oh, you silly person, what are you doing that when you could be doing this?" Instead of, "No. There's a person there. Talk to him." There's a neighbor you need to meet. Go meet them. Or with the Taking the Hill campaign, we discover there are whole neighborhoods out there that need to know the love of Christ and and the hope of salvation. So, when God calls us and helps us to see where we're going, there is a joy. Now, here comes Bartimaeus. He's coming. Comes up to Jesus. And Jesus asks him a question. Now, I want to give credit to a pastor whose name I don't know. He was an interim pastor in the First Baptist Church of Columbus, Georgia in 1973. I don't know the man's name. I wish I remembered it. But he was preaching on this passage, and he pointed out something interesting. Jesus asks Bartimaeus a pretty obvious question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, it should be obvious what Bartimaeus wants. He needs to get his sight back. But maybe it was important for Jesus to ask him the question because this is the man that the crowd was saying, "Be silent." And it's important for him, for us, to be able to tell him what our needs are. Now, God is omnipotent, omniscient, all the omnis you learn about in theology. And he may know the need more than you do. Paul tells us the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and translates them so that they are made more effective. But it's important that we know that God wants to hear us, as imperfectly as we may pray. Sometimes not even knowing what to pray, just crying out loud. It's important that we know he's given us a voice. And as we cry out, and as he calls us to him, we're no longer at the side of the road. We're with him. And we join with him in joy in his work. Now, I want to say that if, despite this sermon, or because of it, I doubt it, we're more the work of God, you've sensed that maybe you're at the side of the road and you don't know how to cry out to him. You may not even know who he is. You realize, I am far from him. I would invite you to cry out to him, to say, Lord, I need you. I realize that I'm not the person I need to be, and I need you as my Lord and Savior. Or you may have put yourself at the side of the road. You got busy. Maybe you got burned out by the faith. You're here. You're struggling. But you can cry out to him, and he will renew you and give you that joy. So what I'd like to do is to close in prayer for the concerns we may have. And in thanksgiving for his love. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we do thank you that we can call out to you, that you have given us the dignity and the grace to call out to you. We thank you also that you speak to us to give us assurance and direction, a higher vision and hope. Help us, Lord, to reach out to you in prayer and to listen to your voice. And we do want to lift up those who are in difficult church situations, that they can cry out to you, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, and the confidence that you can hear them. For those struggling in finances, for those whose families are in difficult straits, who may be facing marital difficulties, we pray also that you guide us, those of us who may need new direction or a new vision. And we pray also here for anyone who realizes that he or she is beside the road, and help that person to know that he or she can cry out to you and you can hear and renew and bring new life. In your holy name, Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.